welcome to KUNM's Year in Review. Today we'll be looking back with local journalists at the year in New Mexico news, the big ongoing stories that will definitely continue to affect us as we move into 2017. There were so many big stories in New Mexico this year that it was hard to pare down a list. Instead, we're going to be talking about four themes: child abuse and well-being, law enforcement, politics, and SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. These can be kind of heavy topics, and we've got a post up with links to resources as well as reporting from all of the journalists we're talking to today. Find it online at KUNM.org. Joining me in the studio, we have longtime criminal justice reporter Jeff Proctor, Sarah Gustavez, a producer of New Mexico in Focus at PBS, Elise Kaplan, who is part of the breaking news crime coverage team at the Albuquerque Journal, and Joey Peters of the online news outlet nmpoliticalreport.com. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning.
One of the toughest recurring stories this year was about children being killed. Victoria Martins, Ashlyn Mike, the family shooting in Roswell, the murder of Cam Tito and Ni Nguyen, and three kids in Albuquerque who were just killed. Elise Kaplan has covered many of these deaths for the Albuquerque Journal. Elise, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Marisa.
So you work as part of a crime and breaking news team, and that means sometimes covering this kind of thing is part of your job. Why do you think it's important to get these stories out there?
Yeah, I do this with Nicole Perez and our editor, Robert Brauman, and we cover all of the hardest stories as a team together. And I think it's really important to get it out there because it's kind of the first chapter to see what's going to change and what's going to kind of come next. Reporting on these stories is really, really difficult, but it also gives these little kids a human voice and a face and makes people care about them in a way that I feel like is really important with that. Like, people can start to move towards what can come next and how can we help them in the future.
We saw such a big reaction to the death of Victoria Martins. Why do you think some of these stories really stir people?
I think the Victoria case really stirred people because of the role of her mother in the case. I think we see time and time again that mothers are blamed for things in ways that fathers sometimes aren't quite as much. And this case was so horrific and it was so terrible and the details were so just horrifying. I think people are really kind of gravitated towards figuring out what happened and figuring out why, how this could have happened and what is going to come next. And I think that one really made a huge impact just because of the role of drugs as well and the fact that there was three suspects. I think getting her picture out there right away really helped. I talked to a family friend the next day, the day after the killing, and she gave me a photo of Victoria, and you could see this beautiful little girl with her big smile. I think that really impacted people, too, to see that face and see that she's like a real little girl that's just like all the other little girls.
There was also a lot of heartache after Ashlyn Mike was killed as well. Do you think that that story really kind of played into parents' worst fears?
Yes, absolutely. I went out to Shiprock right after that happened to report out there while Nicole and Rob stayed in Albuquerque. And every single person I talked to said, oh, my God, this could be my kid. They all talked about talking to their kids about how to, you know, protect themselves from stranger danger, about not getting in the car with anyone else, about just being safe. The school went on like lockdown after school to make sure that all parents were picking up their kids at school instead of that letting them take the bus. I think it's definitely everybody's worst fear, and there's no way, except talking to your kids, to feel like you can really guard against that.
And in other instances, like for Cam Tito and Ni Nguyen, which happened right after Victoria Martins was also in Albuquerque, there wasn't the same outcry. Why is that?
I think part of that is because it's a murder-suicide, and because it's all contained in one family, it feels a little bit less scary than the thing with Ashlyn Mike, where it's, you know, it's a stranger. Also with murder-suicides, we often don't have the same court documents because the suspect is dead. So there's less of a narrative out there for us to report on. We're kind of more dependent on what people will say, the people who will talk to us, and often people don't want to talk because it's all within the family, so it's difficult to talk about. There's also not the same, you know, we have to rely on what police say about it and not so much about the criminal complaint or the court documents or the attorneys and stuff, so it's harder to get the story out there. I also think people are tired. We just come off of Victoria, and everybody was horrified by that. It just kind of overshadowed, I think, Ni Nguyen a little bit in Kemto.
I often wondered if race was a factor. Do you think that it was?
I don't in this case. I think we've seen kind of similar reactions with other murder suicides. As tragic as they are, they do get less interest. People kind of understand that narrative of the mother's husband or boyfriend killing or abusing the children. It's kind of something you can wrap your mind around, as unfortunate as that is, whereas the other cases are more sensational. So I don't think that race really played into this one.
So in the past, you also did a story about ineffective restraining orders, and you just did a piece about some of the bigger systemic failures when it comes to domestic violence. How do those stories tie into these deaths?
Stalking is definitely, experts all over the field say that it's a kind of a indicator of violence later on. It's about control. It's about kind of like obsession. And in this most recent case with the three kids who were killed in Fort Hills, the suspect had a history of stalking and a history of abusing ex-girlfriends, and just kind of showing that's kind of a systemic problem where it keeps on happening and it's not happening just out of the blue.
So this morning we're going to do something a little different. This show is a rare pre-recorded show, so we won't be taking any calls. This year's been kind of a tough one news-wise, so we'd still love to hear from you, especially if you've got any good news to share, good or bad. Tweet at us right now. We're at KUNM News. Use the hashtag YearNNM. Now, Elise, this is the story this year and in many other years. Do you think there can be kind of a growing despair about these situations in New Mexico?
Yes, in some cases. I think that we're used to seeing it and that it's tragic and it's terrible. So I do think people are kind of despairing and tired of seeing it again and again. You know, we stand up and say another child has been killed and it's horrifying and terrible and tragic. So I do think that there is some despair. But what I really like is after each one of these horrible cases, there's a vigil and people really come out from the community to like pray and to light candles and feel sad and release balloons, and there's memorials that are put up. So that makes me think that people aren't entirely despairing. It is kind of this outpouring of love after each one, even people who don't know her. Like thousands of people went to Victoria's heavenly birthday the weekend after that happened, and those weren't her friends. Those were people from the community who are affected. So I have to believe that's not all despair.
Sarah Gustavez, you and I teamed up this year and did some reporting on child abuse prevention programs that teams up nurses and families. And what really stood out for you?
Well, I think with what Elise was just talking about we do see these very sad, very high profile cases so often. And although there are the vigils, I cover the legislature a lot, and then I don't see those people at the legislature advocating for policy change. CYFD is chronically underfunded in some areas. I don't really see people in the community coming out. And there are challenges to that. I don't want to say it's their fault. Like, it's hard to get up to Santa Fe. It's hard to get up to Santa Fe during the session, during the week. But there's kind of a disconnect of, like, there needs to be a larger conversation about policy. And I think that was where we had a great opportunity to take a step back and say, what is working? And that's kind of our goal with New Mexico in Focus. Since we're a weekly show, we keep track of all these things that are going on in the news. And then we look at the bigger picture. We look at policy. We look at priorities for the state, for communities, for leaders. And I think we went and covered the Nurse Family Partnership. We visited with the family. And I think it's so important to talk to families that are using these programs and programs that are positive, that say not you're doing something wrong, we're going to come in and tell you to do what's right, but say families have a lot of challenges today in New Mexico and everywhere in the country. Lots of things they're dealing with, and there's opportunities to have professionals come in and say, what do you need? Do you need some education on child development? Do you need some help with transportation? Do you need some help with housing? And help those families get the services that they need, the things that cause stress that lead to child abuse later. And one thing that really stuck out to me when you and I were doing that reporting is there are these high profile cases that have gotten a lot of coverage. But when we looked at the numbers in New Mexico of children who are abused and neglected, not have been killed, but are enormous. But these, you know, may say, oh, well, you know, neglect can be so many different things. But it can have such a lasting impact on children, can impact how well they do in school, can impact how they see the world as they're growing up, how they feel about themselves. And I think that's important. And we need to take those opportunities to look at that bigger picture of children that maybe aren't at risk of dying, but are still being neglected and abused.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that really struck me was that there is this Nurse Family Partnership Program, and it is, you know, shown around the country. They've done studies that it really does effectively reduce child abuse. And some of the people we talked to really mentioned that we don't have to accept child abuse as just a reality. Like, this is a totally solvable, fightable problem. But the program is reaching only a small portion of the people in New Mexico that it could really help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not all home visiting is the same. There are lots of home visiting programs in New Mexico. Some of them are community members, and there's some value in that too. But the nurses, these, you know, highly trained professionals with a lot of skills and a lot that they bring to the table, they're more expensive. So that program also is a smaller mm-hmm. program because it costs more.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff, you actually did some reporting on this a couple years ago. How does the Children, Youth, and Families Department see its role in prevention?
I don't think that we have a great sense of what the mandated priority is for CYFD at this point, where prevention is concerned. I did do a story on this when I was still at KRQE with Katie Kim, and we interviewed the cabinet secretary, the previous cabinet secretary, who told us on a number of occasions during that interview that the administration did not believe that child abuse and neglect prevention was the state's job. We were pretty shocked by that. We felt like that was a shocking story to put on the air. I'm not sure at this point how the administration's priorities have changed. We do have a new cabinet secretary at this point, but I know that would have required a really fundamental shift at the top of the Children, Youth, and Families Department. Obviously, there are a huge number of people who work in the field for that department who are doing their best every day, but it's difficult to affect kind of a large scale and broad prevention effort when the department doesn't believe that that's what it's supposed to be in the business of. So it's really a question of whether that department is in a reactive mode, reacting to these awful kinds of stories that that Elise is reporting on, or if they're really looking at trying to solve the systemic issues and work as an affirmative, positive force in people's lives.
One thing from this year is that they ran an ad campaign of encouraging people to report child abuse and neglect, which we talked to some people from New Mexico and Focus, and there was kind of two sides to that. On the one hand, it's good to give people some power and say, if you're concerned about a child, you should speak up, you should say something, you know, maybe report that. But also people saying that's not enough. An ad campaign is not enough to address what we're facing in New Mexico.
And they spent a lot of money on that ad campaign, mm-hmm. millions of dollars.
Millions.
Mm-hmm. And so when we see these big reactions to these situations, these instances of child abuse or child abuse resulting in death, there seems to always be a call for tougher laws and harsher penalties. Sarah, talk about how we're seeing that play out this year.
Well, that played out in the special session. The governor, you know, had some lawmakers, you know, she pushed reintroducing the death penalty for cases involving the murder of children and police officers, but they really used the Victoria Martins case as an example. This is kind of how it is. They use cases like that. The families come up to the legislature. It's incredibly, you know, it's an incredibly sad story. It didn't go anywhere, and a lot of us who follow the legislature really closely didn't expect it to go anywhere in the special session, but it will probably come up again.
Okay, we're taking a look back at some of the big themes of news in New Mexico from 2016. This is KUNM's Year in Review show, and I'm your host, Marisa DeMarco. We're not live, so we're not taking calls today, but we still want to hear from you. What was the big news for you this year? What captured your attention? What do you think got missed? Shoot us a tweet at KUNM News with the hashtag YearInNM.